Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great nation despite the fact that our electoral system is under attack. Why is it under attack? Because people are questioning the validity of the 2020 election. And many others are questioning the validity of future elections. Why? Because of the Electoral College system. And this is fairly easy to understand coming from Democrats who have to be very frustrated at the fact that the election of 2016, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million votes, but Donald Trump won the Electoral College vote. And by the way, it was accepted. Hillary Clinton delayed. She didn't announce her concession the night of the election, but she did the morning after. And then you have the election of 2020, which was so controversial, and so many Republicans actually believe it was a stolen election. But when you actually look at the numbers, Joe Biden got 15 million more votes. 15 million more votes than Hillary did in 2016. And that's why he won the election, and he won by more than 7 million votes. There's a new Pew research study that basically says that right now an increasing majority of Americans want to move away from the Electoral College. And in that context, I'm pleased to welcome to the show Rob Ritchie, who has been the leader of Fair Vote since co-founding the organization back in 1992. He was named its president and CEO in 2018, and he has led Fair Vote Action since 2002. He's been involved in helping to develop, win, and implement ranked choice voting, proportional voting, electoral college reform, and automatic voter registration in states and cities across the country. Rob, it's great to have you on the show. Let me ask you from your point of view, because one of your big goals with Fair Vote is just to get more people to vote. So what went right in 2020? Everybody knows what went wrong and the problems with the vote and people criticizing the validity of the vote. But one thing that nobody criticizes is this was the highest level turnout since at least 1908. And it may have been even better than 1908. It could be at least since 1900. This was a huge turnout. Why did so many more people turn out to this particular election?
Well, thanks for having me on, Michael. And that's a good opening question to think about why we participate and why we sometimes don't. I would first say that was the highest percentage of the adult population we've ever had because, of course, back in 1908, we disenfranchised most women and all the African Americans in the South and so on. So if you think about sort of people who actually had a chance to vote and should have a chance to vote of, you know, adult Americans, that was the highest percentage ever. And I think it was because the stakes felt really high to people. And that isn't necessarily kind of a positive thing, right? Because it can feel like there's a lot of fear behind some people's voting these days, which is like, what am I going to lose? What's the other side going to take from me? And I better go out and vote. One of the highest voter turnouts I've ever seen was when Quebec in Canada was voting on whether they should secede from Canada. And that was a very existential question for a lot of Quebecois, and, you know, more than 90% of them voted. So but it was like a very dramatic, you know, issue. And I think that
I think they had the same thing with Scotland's independence. That was a record high turnout.
Yeah, exactly. So in some ways, we want democracy to matter, but we don't want that to be maybe the driving motivation for like kind of this fear or this sort of like existential belief that I think people can sometimes have. And I think that the 2020 election, I think, exposed where we are in this country, where I think people, you know, where this binary definition of two parties in people's minds are increasingly different. It really matters to them who wins and who loses. And I think that's both drives people to participate, but also is maybe oversimplifying and making our politics too, in a sense, feel almost dangerous for people. And I think that's not necessarily a healthy place to be.
In Spain, talking about a healthy place to be, do you expect that we're going to have another huge turnout in 2024?
I would suspect so. It'll be interesting to see what kind of turnout that we get this November, where, you know, we don't have Donald Trump directly on the ballot. We don't have Joe Biden directly on the ballot. Sorry if this background noise is loud, but I'm hearing something. But anyway.
No, we're fine. We're fine.
But okay, great. So that'll be a test, because in 2018 we had the highest midterm election turnout that we had seen in a very long time, and I think that it speaks to the fact that, you know, people are feeling stakes are high. Obviously, the Senate is on a knife edge difference between the major parties, but it's only a few states where that's really in play, right? And there's only a few House districts. We have a historically few number of U.S. House races where the races are competitive. So we have both, I think, a general sense of many, many Americans that this really matters, and actually a relatively few number of Americans who live in places where their votes are actually going to tip the balance. But it still might mean people show up and vote everywhere, but it only is really going to swing things in a relatively few number of places.
Okay, I know you've spoken before about electoral college reform, but I remember when we spoke before on the air, you agreed that because of the way the Constitution exists, that you need only 13 states to block a constitutional amendment. So there are certainly 13 small states that would prevent the elimination of the electoral college. Is there a meaningful way to reform that institution without a constitutional amendment?
Well, there is, and that's one of the fascinating ways that we can actually do a lot of reforms in this country that are very substantial and very impactful, that can be done by statute and then sometimes just by action of states. So on the Electoral College front, there's a proposal that I've been part of developing over the years called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. It's a state law that legislatures passed. It's actually passed in 15 states in D.C. That is states committing to collectively work together to make sure that the national popular vote winner is always elected president. To do that, the number of states that pass that law together have to represent a majority within the Electoral College. So right now, the number of states that have passed it are at kind of roughly 200 electoral votes. If they get up to 270, then those states together will give all of their electoral votes to the candidate who wins the national popular vote in all 50 states in D.C. And it's like a state-by-state proposal. There's been really energetic debates across a number of states. And I think, you know, we're seeing that voters are hungry for change. As you said at the beginning, there's a sharp uptick in the number of people that believe that would be fairer. And I think that when we see things like the controversies over, you know, whether just a relatively small number of votes changing in a single state like Pennsylvania or wherever can affect the whole country, and fights over, you know, electoral votes in just one state could be in dispute, I think there's a nice sense of security in believing that, hey, whoever gets the most votes across the whole country should become president.
Okay, I know that there are constitutional questions about the the popular vote compact, but it's all worth considering, especially in light of these new numbers about what Americans feel. And what do the numbers actually indicate about the validity of our elections. What can we learn from an example abroad? Quite a bit, actually. We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Michael Medved show, I mentioned how overwhelming the rejection of the Electoral College was among U.S. adults. 63% say the way the president is elected should be changed so that the winner of the popular vote nationwide wins the presidency, while 35% favor keeping the current Electoral College system. And again, it's close to 2-1. That, according to a Pew Research Center survey conducted this year in July. And what's fascinating about it is it's gone up, and it's gone up fairly steadily, and that's because we have a situation where within 20 years we had two presidents elected, George W. Bush in 2000, and then Trump, of course, in 2016, who were not the winners of the popular vote. And again, it's different from John Kennedy, where John Kennedy won the popular vote by much, much less than, oh, say, Hillary Clinton did or than Al Gore did. But he prevailed fairly substantially because he won very narrowly, not just nationally, but in the states of Illinois and Texas, which were under some dispute. And speaking of election disputes, there's a perspective on this. I was mentioning learning something from abroad. I was reading the about the exciting Kenyan elections. And I know. What do you care about the Kenyan elections? It actually has an important lesson that the United States has to learn. Let me just read you this dispatch that comes from Nairobi, Kenya. And it's today. It says, Kenyans waited anxiously for the results of their presidential election, the most closely fought in years, amid conflicting estimates of which candidate was ahead. Unofficial tallies by several Kenyan news outlets put William Ruto, the country's vice president, who campaigned as the champion of Kenya's hustlers, that's described as struggling young people, at least three percentage points ahead of his rival, Raila Odinga. Now, I saw the name Raila Odinga. I said, that's a familiar name. He's run for president before. Yes, he has, 5 times. He's 0-5. He has been a prime minister of Kenya before, but at least one major news organization put Mr. Odinga, a former political detainee who later became prime minister and is making his 5th run for the presidency, they put him ahead by a smaller margin in the balloting held on Tuesday. The conflicting estimates based on preliminary counts of fewer than half of all votes only confirmed that the race to lead Kenya, an East African powerhouse struggling through a grinding economic crisis, was too close to call. The period between voting and results is especially delicate in Kenya, where it has been a focus of vote-rigging accusations. Sound familiar? The last 3 presidential elections ended in chaos after Mr. Odinga, the losing candidate in all of those contests, claimed he had been cheated. In 2007, the dispute triggered widespread violence in which more than 1,200 people were killed. Okay, just think about this for a moment. This is not being killed in a revolution. It's being killed in a dispute about counting votes, who actually won the election. By Wednesday evening, that's last night, of course, 24 hours after polls closed, the National Election Commission reported that 99% of results from all polling stations had been electronically submitted, and they were publicly available on the commission's website. But those results came in the form of 45,000 images, all handwritten tally sheets, which greatly slowed the task of determining the overall result. On top of that, electoral officials said it could take several days more to declare a winner because they must verify every electronic image against its paper original, a process that had not even begun on Wednesday evening. In small towns throughout the southern part of the Rift Valley, where ethnic violence broke out after the 2007 election, markets and bus stops were nearly empty in anticipation of fresh trouble, and many businesses and restaurants were closed. Some people who had stayed behind said they had sent their families away to keep them safe and had remained behind to watch out for their properties. Isn't that appalling? Here you have a major democracy in the continent of Africa where they're actually practicing democracy, and it scares people to death because they can't agree on counting votes. And this goes to the lesson, and it's a lesson for both sides, is that one of the things we've had in the past is we've had very close elections. We even had one election, the election of 1876, that was very plausibly stolen. It's probably Rutherford B. Hayes did not actually win the Electoral College majority by one electoral vote. One. That he was alleged to have won. Okay, but we survived it all. And we survived it all basically because people had confidence in the system. Should the system be improved? Yes, it should definitely be improved. But it's something that we can do. And again, part of it is working. We are having bigger electoral turnouts. Though right now there is a warning in the Wall Street Journal that the electoral turnout could be so overwhelming this time that the Republicans might be surprised. They have an editorial that says a Republican midterm election victory is not assured. With November's midterm still 3 months away, the predicted red wave may be breaking far from the electoral shore. Tuesday's elections this week were another sign that Democratic voters are becoming far more motivated. In Wisconsin, Mr. Trump notched another endorsement victory when Republicans nominated Tim Michaels for governor. It's no mystery how he earned Mr. Trump's favor. Asked at a recent candidate forum about the January 6th riot, Mr. Michaels said, "I don't think Trump did anything wrong." Asked about trying to decertify the 2020 election, he said, "I will look at all the evidence and everything will be on the table." Well, perhaps Mr. Michaels is limber enough to pivot now that he has the nomination, but the actual reason Mr. Trump lost Wisconsin in 2020 was thousands of Republicans did not vote for him. Mr. Michaels has a substantial record as a businessman, and he's offering a reform agenda on schools and the economy. But the Democratic Governor Tony Evers can turn the race into a rehashing of Mr. Trump's grievances. GOP swing voters might stay swung. Republican nominees will have the same problem in Arizona and in Michigan. And talking about looking around the country, the Democratic Party is more motivated than before. And will they be motivated in any way by what's just happened at Mar-a-Lago? We'll talk about that with Professor John Yoo coming up on the Michael Medved Show.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
After 3 days of staying quiet and receiving criticism from lawmakers on Capitol Hill, Attorney General Merrick Garland says a warrant was produced on Monday's federal raid of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence, in which 15 boxes of documents were reportedly taken.
Copies of both the warrant and the FBI property receipt were provided on the day of the search to the former president's counsel, who was on site during the search. The search warrant was authorized by a federal court upon the required finding of probable cause.
The number of initial jobless claims is up. The newest report from the Labor Department shows the week ending August 6 saw 262,000 initial claims filed. That's up from 248,000 the previous week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Michael Medved show. Earlier today, I read one of the best things. In fact, not one of. It's just about the best thing that's been written so far about the controversy surrounding the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. And I wasn't surprised that the author was a friend of this show, Professor John Yu, who is a distinguished professor of law at the University of California at Berkeley. He is a non-resident senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and a visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution. And he wrote about the question of the week, maybe not of the year, but of the week, which is why did the FBI raid Mar-a-Lago and why did they do it now? And basically, John, you lay out four alternative explanations. Ranging from the very credible and appropriate to, well, not such a bright view. Can you go through that for people so they understand where we are? First of all, what's the best possible explanation for why the FBI authorized the search warrant and went through this search of the Mar-a-Lago premises? Why did they do it now?
So, Michael, great to be back with you. And I guess when you say what's the best reason, maybe it's the best reason in the hopes that our law enforcement and prosecutors are not doing things they shouldn't be doing or acting hastily or prematurely. And that would be if there really is an honest fight between the archives and the Justice Department on the one hand and President Trump on the other, about classified documents or presidential records he took with him at the end of his presidency, and he's got stored at his house in Florida, Mar-a-Lago, and he's refusing to turn over. Hopefully that's what's going on, but it doesn't seem likely to me, because if that were really the case, if this were really just a fight about where to store documents and which documents a former president's allowed to have or not, then you would not send 30 FBI agents to search the president's house. That's never happened before. No former president's had his home searched under a warrant with, you know, armed FBI agents. Instead, you would do what happened with, for example, Hillary Clinton in 2015-2016, when the FBI and the Justice Department wanted to investigate whether she had mishandled classified information. The Justice Department lawyers and the agents work out an agreement with the lawyers for the former official, and the former official hands them over. Maybe you have to get a subpoena, but you would never get a surprise raid. That's never happened before. There are lots of cases where people have had the chance to work this out normally. But maybe this FBI, this DOJ, they went too far. But the bad story would be if actually the FBI and Justice Department use this kind of overwhelming, unwarranted display of force because they're hoping to find something else on their premises, like something connected to January 6th. Or worse yet, they were politically motivated and they're trying to teach President Trump a lesson because they're foreseeing some kind of conflict in the future. Or they're trying to build a criminal case against President Trump for mishandling classified information, potentially letting it fall in the hands of our rival or enemy nations in the world. Those are the possibilities I hope didn't happen. But those are things that seem more likely because it just doesn't seem warranted to use this kind of search for just looking around for records.
You saw in Newsweek today that according to two confidential sources, they say are very highly placed at the Justice Department, they have already impaneled, and they had impaneled, I believe, back in February, a grand jury looking at this question of a possible violation of the Presidential Records Act, which does come with a 3-year prison term potentially. And again, at least according to that account, they were not looking for material about January 6th or anything of that nature. They were looking for the idea that, contrary to prior agreements that Trump had reached with National Archives lawyers, that they were convinced they had withheld some very sensitive documents. And what about the argument that if there were specific sensitive documents involving national security that could compromise national security, that they felt that because of prior bad faith in their negotiations, they had to move quickly and decisively, getting the warrant to search for the documents? They knew where they were. There was a special room, an unsecured room, where they apparently found them and took them out. That seems to be the explanation, at least from what we're getting. There was not a great deal of help from Attorney General Garland earlier today, was there?
No, the Attorney General today essentially said nothing. He said, we had a warrant, we had an application, we applied, we went to the court granted us the warrant, and we're going to ask for the warrant itself to be unsealed. So right now the warrant is secret. We're going to ask the court to unseal it and reveal it to the public because of the public interest.
Why do you think President Trump hasn't released the warrant yet? He's legally entitled to release it, isn't he?
That's right, Michael. When the Justice Department conducts a search, it gives a copy of the warrant to the target, to the subject. And so, President Trump could release it. One thing they don't give him, which is really what we'd want to see to understand why the department carried this out, is what's called the affidavit, which is a sworn testimony of the FBI agent that sets out what the investigation's about, where we are in the investigation, where the documents are, why we think they're there, and really the most important thing is why this rather extreme step is necessary. Did they try to negotiate a solution? Did they try to reach an agreement? with Trump and his lawyers. I mean, the stories sound like Trump was cooperative. These stories that we've seen in the press today report that the FBI and Justice Department prosecutors had been there before and had looked at the room and inspected it, took away some boxes of documents and said, hey, can you put a lock on this door? Which they did. And apparently in the course of this examination, President Trump came by and said hi to the Justice Department prosecutor. It doesn't sound like this is confrontational or one of a conflict where you might go to this, you know, resort of a search warrant because of months and months of bad faith and recriminations. In fact, we haven't really heard about this before. I'm not surprised that there's a grand jury that's been impaneled involving January 6th. And of course, I think it's becoming clear that the January 6th criminal investigation, not the hearings in Congress, but the criminal investigation is slowly moving towards possibly investigating President Trump. What I do find surprising is turning a matter about documents that a president takes away with him or her after their time in office, turning it into a criminal investigatory matter. This has just never been handled this way before. I've worked on some of these issues before with past presidents, and it's always worked out in consensual agreement, because it really is not something you want the criminal law again for. And the reason why, let me just close with this, Michael, is because we worry not just about President Trump or President Obama and what he do with documents or President Bush. We don't want to create bad incentives for future presidents. That's what this really should be about, is are we working it out in a way that encourages future presidents to do the right thing and not to do things like have no documents or to destroy documents or to worry about their legal liabilities while they're in office when they should be thinking about other things.
Okay, so with the perspective that you've laid down so far, when we come back, I'm hoping you can give your own suggestions of how this situation could be resolved or at least improved for the benefit of all concerned, and above all for the benefit of our country and its institutions. We will be right back with Professor John Yu of the University of California at Berkeley Law School. Coming right back. Summertime, and a lot of Americans get more active. And when you get more active, sometimes that causes some aches and pain. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee. I mean, I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about $1 a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And on the Michael Medved Show, back with Professor John Yu of University of California. And I agree with Professor Yu that we didn't learn anything that we expected or hoped to learn when the Attorney General, first of all, he showed up very late. He showed up significantly late for his press availability. He didn't answer any questions. But he did say this.
It was before.
Do we have Ambassador Bolton? I guess that's something else that's been fouled up in the system here. John, what should the Attorney General Garland say next time he has an opportunity to speak to the press?
I think the most important thing he needs to do is defeat the growing impression out there that there's two standards of justice and the rule of law is not being fairly applied to everybody, because you have these past cases, you know, the Hillary Clinton case. Bill Clinton's national security advisor, Sandy Berger, tried to walk out of the National Archives with classified information. You have presidents always have taken documents out of the White House because they want to write memoirs or they want to have them for keepsakes. And so you need to you want to make sure that President Trump is not just being treated like an everyday citizen would be treated, because former presidents aren't everyday citizens. We do give them special consideration and special respect because we want to preserve the office and its ability to do the job in the future. So I think what he should do, hopefully he gets the search warrant unsealed. Hopefully he also provides the affidavit, you know, the explanation of why they thought they need to get to the search warrant. And then he should explain why this extraordinary measure was necessary, and it isn't about singling out President Trump for political reasons or even because they're interested more in setting some kind of marker down for future fights about January 6th.
The Sandy Berger was fined $50,000, I believe.
He was sentenced to jail, but he didn't have to serve. He was on probation, but he actually was convicted.
Yeah, so that, and he was a national security advisor. This is not nothing. David Petraeus also, and when he was head of the CIA, was in a great deal of trouble because he had showed parts of his memoirs that were that included some top secret information to his paramour. And that's so. What you're saying is correct. Is that but not in none of those cases did they seem to suspect an individual of actually non-cooperation of her going back on commitments. We'll find out more.
Yes.
Why has President Trump not publicized the search warrant, which he has? He has the right to make it public. He doesn't have to wait for the Justice Department to do it. Why not?
I don't know why. I think he could. As you say, I think he could. I think he should make it public even before the courts get to it. I think that would help clear things up. I have to say, after watching a hearing that he took the Fifth, after he's criticized people for taking a Fifth in this other investigation by the New York Attorney General, it sounds to me like he's just hunkering down because he's getting hit from so many sides, so many investigations. When you're in that kind of situation, you may not want to cooperate with anybody because you're always worried, what if you make a mistake in one area and it has the effect of giving ammunition to your opponents and lots of other areas? So he might be taking the strategy of just not saying anything that could increase his legal jeopardy. But I think he should overlook those considerations. His lawyers are probably telling him that. And I would say overlook that legal advice and make everything public, everything you have. I would even say put the documents that you have in the room, put them all on the line so everyone can see that you are innocent.
Okay. The other thing is that this is he took the Fifth Amendment 440 times, which is sounds pretty boring to me. But the other thing is that and this has gotten almost no attention is that the IRS has now been cleared to turn his tax returns over to Congress. That is another front that Trump is fighting on, though.
Yes, you may remember that's a fight that came from several years ago, and whether a committee could get the IRS to turn over his tax records. I actually thought that was a loser for the president. I think this law makes pretty clear that the committee, you know, these committees, which, you know, whose job it is to make sure that the IRS is fairly applying the tax laws and aren't cutting people any special breaks, they're allowed to call up tax returns from the IRS so they can look at them. Now, they have to keep it confidential, but they are allowed to pull them out. I really didn't think President Trump had much ground, but I think he's in the state of mind where he's just resisting and fighting on every request and every investigation. I actually think, I don't know, I think this is the way you're looking at it too, Michael, is I think here, the more information he could release, the better. It would give people more confidence.
For Garland, too. For both of them. For all of them. Let it open the windows. I mean, let the sunshine. Isn't it Justice Brandeis who said sunshine is the best disinfectant?
Exactly. I was just about to quote him, too, but you beat me to it. But that's quite right. I think that would also help the investigators in this. Again, investigators and the Attorney General also, by nature, don't want to say anything because they don't want to mess up an investigation by, you know, making a mistake in public. But in this case, given the high profile of it, given you're dealing with a former president, and this has never been done before, and it has constitutional implications, why not go out and explain? Why not put the FBI agent and the prosecutor out there and have them explain why they took this extraordinary measure?
I suspect that you would agree with me, Professor Yu, that Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, has called for the impeachment of Merrick Garland. If we go through another impeachment fight with a new Republican House of Representatives, isn't that a destructive course to take on something like this?
Oh, yes. First of all, we've never really impeached a cabinet member before. Usually, if there's a law, if a cabinet member ought to go, usually the president fires them or they resign. I don't think yet. I haven't seen anything that would lead me to think that the attorney general should be impeached. I don't think he's abused his power yet because we don't know. As you're saying, Michael, we need to learn more facts, get them all out there, because the Justice Department needs to defeat this impression, which I think, you know, is growing that, President Trump was not being treated fairly and that, you know, maybe the investigators were looking for other things that they shouldn't have been looking for and were using the search for classified information as a pretext. It's very hard to defeat that impression, given that we've never searched any past president's home and used 30 FBI agents to do it.
John Hugh, the professor of law at University of California and senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, non-resident fellow, and at the Hoover Institution. Always appreciate your clarity. His piece from Newsweek is available at our website at michaelmedved.com. Coming up tomorrow, there were revelations this week, in addition to everything else, that there were plots by Iranian operatives to murder John Bolton and to murder Mike Pompeo, by the way, because of their opposition to Iran. So we'll speak tomorrow with John Bolton, Ambassador Bolton, about what it feels like to end up being a target of the Iranian terrorists. There's also a new dispute about the gender of skeletons. Now, I know that sounds like something you don't really have to dispute, as an unnecessary dispute, but no. There is a new trend to not classify skeletons anymore as male or female or based upon race. And in fact, there's a trend to label human remains as non-binary or gender neutral. For all of them. I guess they're gender neutral now, anyway. And anyway, if you don't call them gender neutral, the skeletons might be offended. There also are big movies we're going to be reviewing with superstars, including Jamie Foxx, Oscar winner, Diane Keaton, Oscar winner, and Predator, and Alex Jones. Yes, really, a new film all about him and his many, many wars. That and more, all coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please, don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.